Melissa's not with her. She must be out with Will. But we're delighted to have them with us at River Chase. They've been attending for some time, and we're delighted that they've decided to place a membership with us. No less famous, but Angie Dickinson. Angie, where is Angie? Uh-oh. I don't see Angie Dickinson. It is not the Hollywood movie star, I don't think. But I was going to use that kind of as a segue into our lesson tonight, where all the things that are important and famous with regard to our life here will be absolutely insignificant there. And can you imagine the significance and the fame of being able to be with each other and know each other forever in heaven? I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight. We're going to go to Luke chapter 3. We're going to look verses 1 through 17. Have a very busy night tonight. I was reminded by, I won't mention names, but one of our moms was saying that their daughter reminded them today that they were wondering if I would do what I did last year. And she said that last year he got up and the title of the lesson was 10 minutes and I was done in 10 minutes. We may be done in less time than that tonight. We have a lot to do, but this is important. Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 1. We're not going to read all through the 17 verses. We're going to make note of them, but we'll not read all the way through them. But I want you to take notice of the first two verses, and I wanted to read those. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, not sometime during the reign, not sometime during the life, but in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, and the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, two high priests? Yes. You have to dig a little in history to understand that one and see why. But Luke is right. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You don't give that kind of detail unless you have no fear and no concerns about being checked out. It is almost an invitation. Check me out historically. Well, that raises a question. What if something is wrong? Then what else in the book can you trust? Well, this really doesn't have anything to do with the heart of the book. That doesn't matter. If this is wrong, there's nothing else you can trust. But that's not just characteristic of Luke. It is God's stamp on the entire Bible. If it is wrong, it is not from me. If it is incorrect, it's not from me. And so down through the centuries, year after year after year, critic after critic after critic have pointed to things that are wrong, and time after time after time, they are proven to be wrong. And Scripture is proven to be right. And this is the start of the introduction to John's ministry. Verse 3. John, the man talked about in verse 2, the son of Zacharias, he came into all the district around the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance. Turning away from what you're doing contrary to the will of God and turning toward God. turning around and coming back to God, doing what God would have you to do. And then there's a description in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, or 4, 5, and 6, of his work. As the prophets had said about him, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making ready the way of the Messiah, preparing the way for the Christ to come, making straight the paths, taking all the ravines and filling them in so that it would be a level and easy to tread pathway, taking all of the mountains and making them low so it would be a straight and level pathway, in order to be able to point individuals to the Christ, and by pointing them to Christ, to be able to point them to the salvation of God. Verse 7. So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham." John's goal, the changed life. That's what he was after. He's not counting his baptisms. Although his disciples were, and his disciples became concerned that the man that he was talking about was now baptizing more people than John was baptizing. And John had to tell them, "You only have what's given to you by God. And I have told you that I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. He must increase, and I must decrease." And what is happening is exactly what God intended to happen. John's goal is the changed life. It's the same goal that we have today. When the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, what he's talking about is the changed life. You die to yourself, and you were buried in baptism, and you rise to walk in a new life, a changed life. A life first and foremost covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, but now a life that surrenders to Jesus Christ. So that we put to death the old person, and we put on the new self. So that we no longer use the members of our body for our own purposes and desires to satisfy us. But now we use them to bring honor and glory to Christ and to God. The goal is the same. It's the changed life. Verses 10 through 14, let's read them together. The practical aspects of the change. Notice the categories. We'll list them when we finish. But he starts in verse 10 and he goes down through verse 14. The crowds were questioning him, saying, "Then what shall we do to change, to repent, to have this new life?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise." And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." Verse 14, some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "What about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, but be content with your wages." You see the categories? The change of life consists in a number of things, but the ones that are highlighted by John as he talks about and answers these questions are, first of all, love for your fellow man. In the King James translation of the Bible that Zach read first, most of us did too, it would be charity. That's the word that is used in the King James translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but it's the word agape. And it is translated by today as love. But what he's talking about here, specifically to the people who are asking him, is love that shows itself in service toward those that are in need. And so the first aspect of this change is love. The second aspect of this change is honesty. As a tax collector, you no longer use people to your advantage nor to your profit. You take no more than you have been authorized to take. An individual who would be happy and willing to open the books. I'll show you the orders. I'll show you what Rome is demanding. And I'll show you what I'm collecting. A man of honesty. Not hiding anything. But an individual who is absolutely honest with others. The third would be in connection with those same tax collectors, but it would also be in connection with the soldiers. Justice. You do what is right. You don't force anyone, but you do what is right toward others, no matter who they are, no matter how much they might despise you and how much you have a feeling of despite toward them, you do what is right. But who determines what's right? God does. So we do in keeping with God's will toward others. That's the heart, or one of the items that's at the heart of this idea of the changed life. And then the next one, contentment. The Apostle Paul has a lot to say about that. Having food and shelter, let us be therewith content. A simple life. A life that is not constantly wanting and constantly envying of what others have, but a life of contentment. A life that will improve itself when it can, but a life of contentment. Whatever life gives to me, whatever life brings my way, whatever situation I find myself in, I will honor God in it. Contentment. Bottom line, it gets down to not being focused on this world, but on the next one. But the changed life is not all that there is to it. Because a lot of people can change their lives and not be where God would have them to be. And so then John in verse 17 will talk about the one that is coming. He is mightier than I. He is greater than I. He is before me. He is the Christ. He is the one who will be the King of all kings. His winnowing fork will be in his hand, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff, and he will accept the wheat into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And what he's pointing us to is this: a changed life through faith in Christ Jesus. Not just a changed life to stop doing certain things or to start doing certain things. But it is a changed life brought about through faith in Jesus Christ. Because without that faith in Jesus Christ, there is no acceptance by God. And without that faith in Jesus Christ, there is no change in the direction that God wants us to go. Because he wants us to come into the likeness and the image of Jesus himself. And so John concludes it by pointing to the one that's coming after him and telling those to believe on him, which is exactly what is required of us. Faith in Jesus Christ, which leads us to a change in who we are. Because of our trust in him, because of our trust in what he said, and our trust in what He's done, and our trust in who He is, we change who we are to walk in His likeness and in His image. So it's not only John's goal, it's the goal of God. It's the goal of the entire Bible. It is the whole goal of the Apostle Paul's preaching, summed up in his words when he says, "I am at work again until Christ is formed in you." Because when we come to that faith in Christ and we move toward Christ being formed in us, we move to that changed life based on faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Is it making a difference in your life? Are you moving toward Him? Moving toward His likeness and in His image? If you need to become a part of the body of Christ tonight by being baptized into Christ, or if you need to make your life right with Christ this evening, we offer you His invitation and we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.